Blog Talk Radio.
We shall exalt him for
شمعي يشعل هيا على هاي النوى هيا شمع يشعل هيا على هاي النوى هيا شمع يشعل هيا على هاي النوى هيا
Hey, shalom, shalom, family. Welcome, welcome again to Restoring Your Daughters of Zion, your Monday night radio show, GOCC's first women's show designed with you in mind. The first two musical interludes were the Song of Moses, Exodus 15 in its entirety, and our dedication, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, here. O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I'm your host. This is Sister Shirley. And co-hosting is Sister Carol. Are you out there, Sister Carol?
Shalom, sister. How are you tonight?
You know, I'm still tired. That's all I can tell you. I'm tired. You know, but it's like a way of life now, you know? So, but hey, here we are. You know, it's time to get back into doing what the Most High has us doing. So here we go.
Amen.
Let me see if Sister Jackie. Sister Jackie, are you out there?
Shalom. Noise in my background, but shalom. I'm
all
right.
Shalom. Let's see Sister Betty. Sister Betty.
Shalom. Shalom, everybody.
Shalom.
Most of the gang's all here. We'll wait on a few others to come in, and we will, you know, well,
did you
wait,
do
we
something
just move
to
on.
Your microphone? Did you do something to your microphone?
I'm sounding funny.
I know it was going in and out.
Okay, hang on. Let me try
that
something else.
That sounds better now.
Hold on. Let me see what I can do here. Is that better?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Wait
a minute. Why is it not coming through? Hold on.
Keep talking.
Is that any better? Is that any better?
I think it's still going in and out.
Come on, no. I'm starting tonight. Okay. Here we go. So we are coming to you via Blog Talk Radio International. Did you hear that?
It's still
heard
a little.
It, but it's still going in and out a little.
Okay, hang on. Let me take something else. You know, me sick. Unless I'm mail post, I'm trying to try. Okay, hang on. Okay, how's that? Is that good? Can you hear me?
It was fine when you first started. I don't know what happened.
I didn't do anything. I just brought y'all colored people in, and that's what happened. So
now it sounds better. It sounds better now.
Okay. All right. Well, we're here. We are here. All right. So here again, we are coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. Anybody out there that's hearing up under the sound of my voice, If you want to be a part of this year roundtable to ask a question or make a comment, dial in for yourself at 515-605-9327. That's 515-605-9327.
Where'd you go? Where did you go?
I went south with the rest of y'all, but we don't have to go south. We can go other place. Or you can simply listen into Blog Talk Radio by going to the blogtalkradio.com/GOCC Church. Okay? You can go there.
Yes, ma'am.
She's every woman.
You can also reach out to us in our private email, restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. That's restoringthedaughters with an S of Zion at gmail.com. All right, guys, we are ready to get started on this show for tonight. And so, Carol, why don't you take us before the Most High in prayer so we can get started.
All right, I just want to read a little bit of 1 John.
Amen.
One starting with the, sixth verse. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Yeshua Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Thank you, Eternal Father. We come before you tonight. It's been a while since this program has been on, but we thank you for this opportunity that we are here, Father.
Yes.
During the Passover week, we had a time to look into our lives, and as the scripture says, that we should confess our sins, and you're faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us of our sins, Father. We thank you for giving us your holy days, the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that we can reflect and that we can give honor to you as a people, as a body, coming together to show forth the praises of your name, Father. We ask you tonight to bless this program, that we may bring forth some wisdom and receive some wisdom. That you may edify the body. That you may guide us in what we say. And that we get smaller as you grow bigger. That the eyes of the show are on you and not on any one of us. In the name of Ahayabah Hashem Yeshaya, we pray. Amen.
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 All right. I do want to say it's good to be here with y'all. But what was even more wonderful, you know, I know there's a lot of chatter out there sometimes about why we, you know, come together and have to spend so much money to come together. And the funny part about it is that that's almost the only time we really all get together, where we can see our brothers and sisters and fellowship like that. I mean, didn't it make our hearts feel good when we saw all those people together that we know we're not alone? It makes me happy, you know, and it's worth it. And then I read, I can never find the scripture when I need it. The scripture, it said, I believe it's in the Psalms or it's in the Proverbs. It said, honor the Most High with your substance and the first fruits of thy labor and of thy increase, rather. And so the thing is that when it says honor the Most High with your substance, well, we got a few dollars. We need to honor the Most High sometimes, you know?
That's right.
So I'm grateful that we did it, you know, and came together, and I'm not looking back at it, you know, and saying, oh, my goodness, all the money we spent, because you know what? It wasn't even that much. You tell everybody we're going on a cruise, and I guarantee you that money will be in there in 15 minutes. Been in there. Party, yay, you know? So it was just a wonderful thing to do. And I feel like, you know, even though there's a lot of things to complain about, because, you know, you're looking for something to complain about, you can find it. Lord have mercy. I know a thousand things that went wrong. Everything was in the Most High's hands, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So tonight we just want to kind of talk about that because, you know, we'd like to do a recap. We'd like to hear from you guys what you liked about the Passover, what you didn't like about the Passover, what we could do better with the Passover, what was confusing to you. I'd like to hear from you guys. And so, you know, press one, get into the host queue like early and let's just talk about it so we can, you know, the one thing it is we're getting better and better each time because I remember that first Passover where we all got together. I think we spent 2 days trying to register. You know, it felt like we were out there in that vestibule. It felt like we were out there forever online, trying to register. And I was in and out, trying to get things done. And there were so many people who did not know who I was. It was just putting me on the back of the line. Every time you got to get the back of the line, sister. We got pocketbook, you know, you got to check. It was extremely frustrating, but we've gotten better, you know, and I don't know whether any of you guys noticed, but there wasn't a flower on the table. There wasn't nothing on the table that was glorious, even though we did bring the flowers. We did bring the setups. I got there 2 days early and put flower arrangements together. And then we learned that we had to be out of that venue by 11 o'clock, packed and ready to go, nothing left in the building. And it was impossible for us to get everything decorated the way we had stuff and then get out by 11. It was going to be impossible. So we just went upstairs and packed all the flowers and vases and all that stuff that it took 2 trucks to bring. You know,
wow.
We just packed all that stuff back up and all that work. And I looked up at the Most High. I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, because we worked hard. But
and it was good anyhow.
Something. Yeah. Yeah. It taught us something because, you know, we decorated the front of the church. And that's how we left it. And I mean, the front of the venue, whether we call it the tent of meetings or whatever. And it was very pretty. It was very pretty the way we did it front. And we just had some programs and put that in the playbill on the table. And that was it. And then when it came time to clean up, you throw all that out, let them throw it out, and whatever's left. There was nothing to do over there on that part.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped out a lot. So I think that we might have stumbled onto something that's important, and that is don't put nothing on the table.
That's right.
You don't have to take it off.
It is. There was so much beauty there. We did not miss it.
Oh, my goodness. Everybody looked so beautiful, and it was wonderful meeting you for the first time, Sister Jackie. Isn't that funny?
It was awesome. Sister Jackie
was Yeah, that's right, Betty. That's right, Betty.
Sister Jackie.
Oh, man, I asked about you, but next time, Sister Betty.
Next time.
Will you be?
Yeah.
We'll see. But it was just wonderful meeting you, Sister Shirley, and your sister, Sister Carol. You guys look like twins. I was so blessed, Sister Shirley. I did not know you had so much energy.
Oh my God.
Walking back and forth on that floor. You know how you listen to somebody on the phone and you picture them being a certain way? It's like you moving like that. I didn't picture picture all that in it. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Well, he knows how to get all that done.
I had a great time watching you go back and forth, back and forth. I said, oh my goodness.
That's what that, and see, you got the operative word had, H-A-D, because I am worn out, you know?
I know, and relax.
You did such an amazing job, and it was done with such a spirit of excellence, and I know everybody was just so blessed. It was just so blessed to play. The song took me back to Zion.
I needed to hear those songs.
I mean, it's just like, those are the songs I grew up on, and my mother, like, Come This Far by Faith, that was my mom's favorite song. And it just was such a blessing.
Amen, it was.
Well, you know, it's not that, and let me see if I can use a little hyperbole here. It's not that I don't like the rap music. It's just what happens is when you're in trouble, when your soul is burdened, or when you need to reach the Most High, it's those songs that I hear in my soul. I don't hear the rap music at that time. And I'm not saying that there's not a place where for the rap, because I guess our parents felt the same way about the change in the music when we came up, you know. I guess they were like, oh God, these children, they're going, this music is so bad. I know they felt like that because they were used to singing mostly hymns. And I'm going to tell you something, those hymns are fabulous because sing the words to those hymns, they're amazing. But people don't have time for that. They need a beat, they need a rock. But when you are in a hard place, those hymns will hold you down. When we were sitting up there sick with COVID, that song on Christ the Solid Rock.
It kept me.
You know, because let me just say the words. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Yeshua's blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Yeshua's name. And this next verse, when darkness veils his loving face, I rest on his unchanging grace. Is that wonderful? In every high and stormy gale. Now, when you look up that stormy gale, that's a serious storm going on around. It says, but my anchor holds within the veil. And then the next verse, when he shall come, the trump shall sound. Oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. I mean, are those words?
Those are words.
Those are words that they pierce your soul. They pierce your soul. And then, of course, the bridge is on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And when we were singing that song, my soul was rejoicing. My soul was rejoicing. And so I'd like to hear from the young people to know when the rap songs are being sung, is that what is coming to them? Is their soul being magnified? Or is it a party? Are they at the club? Because, you know, some of the old people said they felt like they were at a club when they heard the rap music. But if you listen the words to some of those things, like, you know, Sister Carol, the young man from your church that got up and did the spoken word, if you listened to the words that he was saying, they were powerful.
So awesome. So awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is so brilliant with his words that I am just, I think he's so talented, and I just wonder if he put it to a beat, more of a beat, would it have, you know, would people understand it more or what? I don't know, but I just sit there and listen to those words. It was almost like reading scripture. He just puts those words together so nicely. And it glorifies the Lord.
I asked one young man, he was carrying on. I mean, he was so into the rap. And I turned him around. It was Passover. I turned him around. I said, okay. I'm doing the best I can here. What was he saying? What did he say? Because I couldn't understand a word he said.
That's my problem.
Now, when we were kids, there was this cartoon that would come on when we get ready to go to school in the morning. And it would be like follow the bouncing ball. And the song that they would sing, it would bounce on the word every time you were supposed to say the word. And I knew that when they do the rap music because I need to hear the words. And so he said, I don't know what he was saying. I said, well, wait a minute now. I said, so how was that edifying? And he said, it's the beat. So now I got real confused because I thought I needed to hear what the brother was saying. But now, is it the beat that's magnifying your soul? What is it? What's happening? That's what I need to hear. I think we got a caller in the queue. Sister Betty, I know your daughter does the rap also. Can you elaborate on that before I bring the caller in?
Yes, and you know, I absolutely love the rap, and the children, the young people that are doing it is they are sharing their testimonies in these raps, and it's so awesome. Sometimes listening to these raps makes me cry. I mean, when I ride with my daughter, she plays this music, it is like, wow, they're singing a new song, a new baptism. Mm-hmm. You know, it is just, I think it is so what's the word I'm looking for? It's so called for. It's
okay.
What
wow.
The body needs.
That's
it's,
wonderful.
It's what the body needs.
Yeah. So you know, I gotta figure out how to learn those words because then, you know,
listen.
To hear somebody's testimony,
really
that's
listen.
A powerful. That's a
if
powerful.
If you listen
thing.
With an ear that you don't want to hear, then you might not hear. But you have to listen with a sincere ear. You'll hear.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And you know, when you say listen with a sincere ear, I really do try to listen, but I think that the beat is, maybe I'm just too
old.
Well,
maybe the music is so loud that we can't hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, the beat
because
for
if
them
I know the song,
what they remember.
Look,
that they want to sing to that beat. They want to
Betty,
talk.
I know this song, Betty.
That beat.
I know this song. It was September 24th in Hollis Ave at the dark when I seen a man dealing with his son in the park. I looked around. I understood every word that man said. I'm laughing because it's funny. I know that song.
Yeah. Well, you know, you
but
have
when I can't get the words, I can't get the words. But okay, let me.
Some people are not into clarity, you know, because when they're talking, it's a rap. Some people don't know how to rap with clarity. But then there are so many that are just so good with it, you know.
Yeah. But I thought I picked. See, now Elder Rakar came to me among all the stuff that was going on in my life. He came to me a day before Passover and said, "Sister Shirley, we need to get some songs in there for the young people. We need to get some performers." And I'm like, you know. And he picked me. He picked me. You know, I felt like, you know, on the Cat in the Hat, and he picked out somebody, Sally and me, yeah, to go and do it. And I didn't know any rap singers. Where was I going to get them from? But I found them.
But they
and I got them all lined
all
up. Yeah. But let me bring this caller in and see what he has to say or she. Hold on. Area code 516, you're on with the Daughters of Zion.
Is that
area
me?
Code. I guess so.
Well, this is Sister Violet. Sister Violet.
Hi, Sister.
How are you?
I'm good here listening to y'all ladies and agreeing with a lot of stuff. And I think when it comes to the rap stuff, I think it's good because we have such, you know, such young people in. So I know he's trying to grab them, but I think it would have been nice to have a mixture of stuff so that you can grab the young people, but also, but you know, like the play and the songs are so good too. I just didn't feel like I missed out on anything. I just love the every bit, every single effort you put into it. It just showed, it shined. It was so uplifting. So I was just loving it all, you know.
That's a wonderful thing. That's wonderful, Sister Violet. I'm glad to hear that because, you know, we need to know and we need to hear. You know what? It's so funny because I don't go into the comments because I can't bear it, you know. And I just can't. I can't, you know, good or bad. I don't want to hear it. But, no, in this platform, I think we'll talk a little nicer than some of those comments would be. And you can tell us what we could do better, you know, or what really touched your heart. And that's why we're asking callers to press 1, get into the host queue, and tell us what you enjoyed about the Passover, what you'd like to see more happening. You know, give us some ideas of what we could do better next year, because you know what? We are doing better. We are doing better every year. Last year, even though we had about 30 body mics and we couldn't get them to work. And we don't know whether it was the venue or whether the mics were the wrong mics we bought and it just wouldn't work. So we just decided, we just used those hand mics that we had in there. We just used them. And that kicked out a lot of things. That messed up a lot of things because when the choir was supposed to come and sing the background for other songs, they couldn't do it because they had the mics up there. So it was just a lot of different little things.
Y'all want those mics.
But see, that shows just how professional you are because even through all the stuff that was going on behind the scenes, the way you ran everything, you couldn't even focus on what was. Nobody paid attention or noticed anything going wrong. We just saw all the things that was going right, and that says a lot about, you know, your preparing and prepping and being ready to move and change when you have to move and change, because you know they say ready, and that's what you did. You was ready. You was told the day before to pull rap together, and he knew you would be able to do that because you're going to reach out and you're going to ask the right questions, because you know so that's something you're good at, and he know that you would do it and do it to your best. So you know, that's a blessing, even though it's stressful in the midst of it. It's a blessing that, you know, that the Most High blessed you with, and you know, that's what it is. So I'm happy.
I want to talk about what did we do to get the leaven out of our lives, because that's really what, you know, there was a lot going on. We fellowshipped. We had a good time with one another. I was so happy to meet so many people, you know, and it was bad because in a way, because as they're running up and down and you're trying to say hi to people and people want to take a picture, they want to hang out with you. But when you're running, it seems almost rude what you're doing.
But everybody should understood you was busy. And, you know, so I think everybody who really knew, they could see that you was handling your business. So because I was taking a picture of you as you was running by, as you was coming, I knew I didn't stop you to get it. So I took it as I could.
Oh my God. I don't want this conversation to be about me. I want this conversation to be about what we received. Really, what did we receive? What are we able to, you know, Carol, you brought it up like this is the new year. And let's talk about that for a minute, okay? Being this is our new year. It's not, you know, that cold January new year, which don't make any sense. But this is the new year, and in the new year, the world tries to make changes. I know they got that from us. Because in our new year, that's when our unleavened bread comes and where we're trying to get the leaven out. Don't we need to do that?
Absolutely.
What are we trying to let go of? I learned a few things about what I need to change, but I'd like to hear from some of y'all. Let's not all.
When you say y'all, you mean the people who are calling in or us?
Well, both, but I don't see anybody pressing one to get in the host queue. Come on, sisters, press one. Get into the host queue. We can bring you in. Okay?
Well, let me just read this first, okay, about the ancient Babylonians and a little bit about the Romans, how they did this thing, because this stuff that, with the ball dropping and all that wild festivities, it's been going on a long time.
Yes.
And we, as daughters of Babylon and sons and fathers and children of Babylon, have been, before we came into the truth, running with this craziness in January and making all types of resolutions and, you know, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to stop smoking this year. I'm going to be kind to my neighbor. All kinds of different promises that we make. And it just says that the ancient Babylonians are said to have been the first people to make New Year's resolutions from 4,000 years ago. They were also the first to hold recorded celebrations in honor of the New Year. Though, for them, the year began not in January, but in mid-March. Remember, they changed that. Everybody was celebrating the New Year in March.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they changed the Gregorian calendar and what have you. They, as the scripture says, they think to change time and law.
Mm-hmm.
Though then the new year began in January, but in mid-March when the crops were planted during a massive 12-day religious festival known as Akitu. The Babylonians crowned a new king and reaffirmed their loyalty to the reigning king. They also made promises to the gods to pay their debts and return any objects they had borrowed. These promises could be considered the forerunners of our New Year's resolutions. If the Babylonians kept to their word, their pagan gods would bestow favor on them for the coming year. If not, they would fall out of God's favor, a place no one wanted to be.
Yeah, so that does sound like that was certainly the foreshadow or a copy of what we were doing. You know what I'm saying? More than likely, they took a picture of it and they just tweak it a little bit. But
that's how the devil works. He takes the truth and adds a lie to it.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
It makes it very hard for us to understand, okay, how do we pick a truth? And that is what conspiracy theories are. They
right.
have the truth in it, but they have lies too. And
okay.
that's why the world is so confusing now. We don't know what the truth is anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think about what's the space that what is truth?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like,
Violet.
You know, that's our question today. What is truth?
Mm-hmm.
We know the word of God is truth.
Right.
And that we can rely upon. Let me just add a little more about the Romans. It said the new year also originally corresponded with the vernal equinox, but years of tampering with the solar calendars eventually saw the holiday established on its more familiar date. Notice how they're saying more familiar date of January 1st. For the Romans, the month of January carried a special significance. Its name was derived from the two-faced deity Janus, the god of change and beginnings. Janus was seen as symbolically looking back at the old and ahead to the new, and this idea became tied to the concept of transition from one year to the next. Romans would celebrate January 1st by giving offerings to Janus in the hope of gaining good fortune for the new year. This day was seen as setting the stage for the next 12 months, and it was common for friends and neighbors to make a positive start to the year by exchanging well wishes and gifts of figs and honey with one another. According to the poet Ovid, most Romans also chose to work for at least part of the New Year's Day, as idleness was seen as a bad omen on the rest of the year. And I just want to add something. When I went to the First Day Church, or we went to the First Day Church, I don't know if this happened in any of your churches, but he said that they expected them to give an offering kind of for the new year. It says for gaining good fortune. Now, you know that they would always say something about how much we should give that year, and they'd come up with some crazy number, like, let's say it was the year 2017. All right, let's go into 17. Anybody should give $170, you know, to match up with that number and what have you. And so they're telling, in the Romans, they gave an offering. So those watch night services, you know, they had the $1,000 lines and all those different things. It was a big night for giving. And planning for what you were going to give up that year, because Christians did the same thing with those New Year's resolutions. They all had big plans to make things new and better and what have you. But our plans are what the Most High told us, to get the leaven out, and the leaven represents the evil. And Paul told us, now let's, you know, celebrate the Passover by removing that leaven, the real leaven, leaven of sin.
Amen. Okay. And see, and you brought up the Christian church, because what I find is there are a lot of people in our congregations that have come from Christian background or from Muslim background or from all these different backgrounds, and a lot of them are crying about, oh, that's getting too Christian. And my head is spinning when they say that, because even looking at the word, what is Christian? A follower of Christ. A follower of Christ.
Right. That's right.
If you start saying we're falling into bad doctrine, now I'm with you. I don't want to know about it. You start
saying
we are moving into paganism. Okay. Let's not do that. Let's make sure we don't do that. But when you're praying, you know, I need
to
understand that Christ spent so much time in prayer, because I heard a few comments that it was strange when we had Elder Hannah do what we called an altar call and not lose a moment of the message that was being portrayed within the play, where people, we were asking them to come and repent. What did Peter say? Repent. When the people asked, well, what must I do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's where we were at. That's where we ended that dance, right there. And that's why Elder Hannah came up and said, this was a play. But the Most High is not playing. He's very serious about our souls, because there are a lot of people in the congregation now that come and learn who they are, but they have not changed their life. They have become born again. They have not, even though some of them have been baptized, they went down a sinner and they came up a wet sinner. You have to repent your sins.
You're going in
more time to forgive you and start all over. Start that new life. That new life in Christ, where you are trying to keep, not just keep the commandments, I'm not going to eat no pork, but to get rid of that leaven in your soul
That's what this is all about. That's, you know, we don't want people to miss that, because we had a lot of comedy in the play to make you laugh, because, you know, sometimes when you laugh at stuff, you remember it more when it's funny. But we didn't. But the gospel was being taught. The gospel was being portrayed. And in the last part, where that man was saying, shower down with fire. Now, let me tell you something. We had the fire sticks ready for their heads so that the fire could come up on their heads. I don't know, maybe the Lord didn't want that to happen because it wouldn't work. It just did not work. But nonetheless, the fire did come down, because those souls that were at the altar, that brother, when he stood up and he was in tears, and he asked for help to pray, to walk with, he wanted to begin his new life in Christ. My soul was magnified. I'm telling you, when one person comes to Christ, all those people that mind the altar, I was so blessed.
Yeah.
I was so blessed. I know I ran my mouth a lot just now, but I'd like to hear what other people thought of it, you know?
Amen.
Because is that not what we're there for? The rap singing was fun. It was good. The fellowship was wonderful. But it's about souls.
That's right. It's about telling them to go into the hedges and the highway and compel the sinner to repent. And there was no sinner's prayer being mentioned where you were telling folks you are now saved. We didn't do that.
Right. Say three words.
To come up, give them an opportunity. We'll pray with you.
Amen.
As you ask the Most High into your life. Because let me tell you something. If you never had that opportunity in your life, you need to question whether you know Christ. Did you have a Damascus road? Did you have a time where you turned and said, Lord, I am tired of living this unholy walk, and I need to, as he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't have that moment in your life, you need to question.
Yeah.
Did I make sure my election was sincere or sure? What the elder was asking people to do. Make sure of your election. Don't walk out of here thinking, well, now that I know I'm an Israelite, I'm good. That's not what it's about. Because the people in the Old Testament knew they were Israelites.
Mm-hmm,
and they
still,
many of them were on their way to hell.
Well, you know, what does Christ say?
That's why we need Christ.
Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will inherit the kingdom. Because sometimes, didn't we cast out many devils? Didn't we do all these things? Didn't we do all these mighty works? And Christ said, back away from me, or get away from me, you worker of lawlessness. I never knew you. So that's what we were trying to say. We show
not only did I not know you, but depart from me.
There you go. Exactly.
And of course, we would find people who are walking with that leaven, because they want to criticize immediately. I mean, you have people who will see you, upon seeing you, they decide that they're not going to like you without even knowing you.
There you go.
Oh, my. That leaven is it's that thing, that jealousy, that envy, that hate, that rises in you immediately when you see something different. And maybe because you didn't have input, or you don't understand, and now you want to judge it.
Uh-huh.
You know, instead of watching it, going with it, and really seeing the good in it. And it just will come in love. The love of another comes in.
Yeah. Amen. I want to say something. I want to add something in reference to the Christian church, because many of us found our way to Christ in the Christian church, and we have to just admit that they had a lot of bad things that they did because they don't know. Mm-hmm. And now that we know, our eyes are open to what we were doing wrong, and we pray for our first aid brothers and sisters, because that's what the Most High wants us to do, is to love them and compel them to find out what it is. And Israel is rising. People are learning every day. But the scripture says we must worship him in spirit and in truth.
And, exactly.
And I think that we have the true side, but they had the spirit. Because that's all they knew. That's all they knew. And it needs to be combined where you have spirit and truth. And come together. Because I think maybe that's why he had us go through it. So we only had a little tiny piece to hold on to. But yet, there you go.
And you know, we see through a glass darkly. But the one thing is, I know that when my life was changed. I know when I began to walk with the Most High, when the Most High, you know, summoned me and I began to walk with Christ. And we've been stumbling and tripping and walking, but we never turned back. Never. Climbing higher to higher and higher heights and deeper. And me, myself, I saw so many pictures of me stressed out, aggravated, and I said, you know, I've got to learn how to give my face the message that the Most High is in charge, you know, that's 11 that I need to get out of my life, because I'm dealing with human beings. Ain't nobody getting paid. Ain't nobody getting paid. I be treating people like, look, move it.
Like you giving them big salary.
I saw a lot of pictures of you on social media. I never seen so many of you. People were snapping you pictures this time.
I saw some of them pictures. I'm wanting to erase the board. Go ahead.
And the thing is, I said, look at her. You know, I really appreciate you, because, and all the others who work so hard, because without people like you, this would not be possible. They would not have a Passover. Oh. And who's going to step up and do this?
Well, I'm going to work on this thing right now. I need some people that's willing to step up, because there's a lot of talent out there. Let me tell you, that brother that took those pictures, I just want to shake him up, man. That brother is fantastic. He took some, I read up on him, he's a Pulitzer Prize winner. That brother, and so we've got talent in the congregation. It's just people are hiding out there. Just like right now, we got a lot of people on the phone and listening in, but not pressing one, getting into host queue and joining in the conversation. I need people to come on, gird up your loins, let's go. Get somebody got in. Somebody heard the call. Let's bring them in. Let's bring them. Area code 248. You had the chutzpah to get in. Who are you and what are you doing in here?
Hi, this is Andrea from Detroit. Hi, Jackie.
Shalom.
Hi, Andrea.
Shalom. Hi, I've been waiting for you guys to come back for weeks.
I know. Give them the explanation, Cheryl.
listen. I had a nervous breakdown scheduled. It was just too much.
Don't say that.
There was so much to do. And, you know, to sit down and do the show on top of that. It was too much, because, you know, the thing is that we were dealing with the play. We were dealing with decorating. And we were dealing with the music. And even though I have help, overseeing all that is a lot, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why I could not focus on the show at the same time, you know.
Sister Shirley.
And a lot of her rehearsals, and a lot of your rehearsals were on Monday night in New Jersey or in Pennsylvania, and you were running between states.
Zoom rehearsal, I'd like, you know, usually when my sister comes up at half, we have no time to say hi. No time.
Wow.
I remember the year she came up and she helped put the bows on the chairs, and I don't even go back into that because I told her off for doing a flop job, you know. And she told me she was never helping me again. But the thing about it was that this year we did get a chance to kind of meet because I stayed back. You know, the Most High is wonderful because he told us we had to be out of there by 11. And we stayed an extra day because we thought we were going to be there the next day cleaning and fixing. And we had a free day. So we did get together. That was a beautiful thing. But
awesome.
you from Detroit, what's your name again?
Victoria.
Hi, this is Andrea, Sister Andrea.
Okay,
Andrea.
Andrea. Go ahead. So hey, go, what do you want to add? Because I know we just jumped on you.
Yeah, this was my first Passover, and I thought it was beautiful. And
good.
It was just like a good vibe, a good spirit. And I'm still, like, so happy. And it's been a week. I'm so happy.
Isn't that beautiful?
I'm so thankful to be going. Like, I'm so happy that I went.
Praise
the
Most High.
Wonderful.
I'm so glad. You know, when we was getting the play started, and I stood up and I said, I know y'all paid $600 to get in it. You know, I had a couple of people call me up after me. Yeah, they said, they paid $600. I said, that's going to be another YouTube. That's going to be another YouTube on there that people pay.
Yeah, $600. I was like,
because you can hear the crowd's response. All you hear is what I said. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be in trouble. Yeah, but it was wonderful.
Was
the vibe was good, sister. Thank you so much for bringing that, you know.
I just wanted to ask for one more thing. I know you said you enjoyed it, but was there anything in particular that you felt we could have added, taken away, or maybe just that you loved a certain part the most?
I like the play, and I like the concert. The concert was, like, really fun, you know, running up front, everybody's dancing and cheering and stuff. It was fun. And I like the mixture of the old school with the new school. You know how you guys started out with the choir and singing, you know, the songs we sang in back in the day, Christian church.
That was
you
nice.
Know?
Good.
Yeah. And then fast forward into all white when my friends is on and everybody
dancing.
It was
fun. The boy shopping network was going. That was interesting. And
that's
got my fringes on. What is that song about besides the fact that we have our fringes on? Are we just simply saying that now we understand what we need to do? So I just wanted to know if you could tell us what that means. I did hear him say, I got my fringes
song?
On.
Yeah.
What was that song about?
We got our fringes on.
It's dress code, you know, Hebrew dress code, and it's cool.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
How old are you, sister? How old are you?
Oh, I'm too old to answer that question.
Okay.
No,
that's a good thing.
Don't be afraid of your age.
No. It's not even a matter of a matter of. Go ahead, sis.
I'm 38.
Okay.
Oh, you're young. You're a baby.
Did you hear that foolishness? She's 30. I'm insulted now.
I'm about to strike.
She's 38 years old, but you know what? I concur, sis, because when I was 38 years old, I thought I was old too. I thought I was old, and now I'm almost 100, and it's like, ooh, look out, girl. So,
oh my God.
All right. So I want some more people to press 1.
get into the host queue. Come on, tell us about your experience at Passover. Did it change your life? Did it make you better? And so this sister's telling us that she's still happy. So I think that made you better, sister.
I think yes, and I came home very motivated.
Wonderful.
Oh, wonderful.
Isn't that great? Well, thank you, sister. If that's all you got, I'm going to put you back in the queue. And I'm gonna, hopefully somebody else will have the chutzpah again to press one, get to the host queue and talk to us. Because I see you out there. I don't want to just start pulling in people like Elder Ricard said. Somebody got the nerve. All right, sister, I'm going to put you back, okay? Bless you.
Okay.
Hang on, guys. All right, area code 502. Area code 502, you're on the air.
I think that's me.
Yeah.
Shalom, lady.
Shalom.
Shalom.
So I just wanted to answer a couple of questions that you asked. My name is Sister Kaya. I'm from the KY body.
Okay.
I just wanted to say as far as the leavening that I am going to remove or that I'm trying diligently to remove, I think that is one thing is trying to get rid of any spirit of the flesh that I may possess, whether it be variants, excuse my newborn making noise, but whether that be variants or strife or any of those things. And I also want to add like more time to my day to the Most High, dedicate more of my day to the Most High. And I didn't get to make the Passover because I was still on maternity leave from having a baby. But I did watch it, and I enjoyed everything. I am sad that I didn't get to make it because I did get to see videos from, like, other things that happened during the Passover that weren't televised. And I'm looking forward to it next year. If I could say anything that could be added is sometimes during the play, like the play was wonderful, and I'm in charge of the dance ministry. If I could get in touch with your daughter, Mother Shirley, that would be awesome. No, but I just some of the things I didn't understand, I guess.
I don't know
if there could be, or I didn't know what scenes they were. So if there could be like a cue, like telling us, okay, this is like, you know, this is just describing the scene or just telling us like what the scene is, I think that would be more helpful for me. I don't know if anybody else had that problem, but.
Okay.
Other than that,
can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Is this your first child?
No, this is my sixth old.
What did you have?
My sixth, yeah. I had a boy.
Oh, congratulations.
And what do I have? What's the combination? You said this is your sixth child?
Wow.
That's
no wonder you didn't make Passover.
I have two girls and four boys. I have a 20-year-old, 16-year-old, 14-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 1-year-old, and now a newborn.
Girl,
that's beautiful.
I hope you got
it.
Doing a pig for Christ. That's beautiful.
You have so much to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah, our own little tribe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And of course, when they say, build Israel, like, I feel like when you come into the truth, I thought I was done having children. And I came into the truth and got married, and now I had two more kids after having my four kids before. And,
wow. You're going to be glad you had those daughters.
Okay. That's
wonderful. Congratulations.
Okay, Tyler, you said your name is Tyler?
Andy, right? Oh, Kaya. Okay.
Kaya, I'm going to put your phone number down, and I'm going to have Lisa call you, and we could talk to you, you know, because it depended on what you were seeing, and sometimes maybe you missed a certain part because all the dances definitely coincided with what was going on. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, I didn't have a problem with that. I think it's just the scenes, knowing what the scenes were talking about directly related to the Bible. No, I said talking to your daughter in regard to, because I'm over the dance ministry, I would love to speak with her, you know, because I know she was over the dance part of it, and it was really all beautiful.
So mm-hmm. let me just say when you start talking about the scenes with the Bible, what we did was we brought in the Bible and we brought in history and we brought in some of what you might, let's say you had to use like a poet's license. So like when Mary and the two Marys were together, Mary Magdalene and Mary, and they were talking about Christ that had crucified. The Bible is absolutely silent about that. You never hear anything about how Mary felt when Christ was crucified. So we took liberty to just assume what Mary could have possibly been feeling when her son was crucified. So it's not like you're going to find a scripture. This is what a play is, okay? Just like you'll see, even like the Ten Commandments on TV, they used history, they used historical writings, they used things like that. It wasn't straight.
Added a love story.
We added a historical love story of Marcellus. Marcellus was a Roman soldier that supposedly was converted from being at the crucifixion, and it's historically talked about, and you know, I think they even had a movie out it called The Robe, but it was things like that we added in to the play to make it where we could actually put some comedy in it and some hyperbole. And then with the King Herod, what was going on in the kingdom after Christ died, how they were unconcerned with his death, and it was all about how Rome was just taking over Israel and doing their own thing and things of that nature. So when you start talking about biblical, now the play before that, which was a sequel to it, the play before that was straight Bible, and you could barely get a comedy anywhere or a laugh. And it was heavy. It was very heavy. And so I felt like, let me give it a little bit of a something to make it more theatrical. And that's what we did. And so when you saw the different parts in the play, you saw that's what it was, a play. But we also tried to bring in, just like the first scene in the play was at the gravesite. Very serious. When the soldiers, you know, saw Christ come from the grave and when they fainted and what have you. And then the last scene was about Pentecost. They were in the upper room. So if you guys didn't catch, most people caught it, each thing that we did. So, but that's basically what we did with the play is we added in history, we added in hyperbole, and we added in scripture, but we try to keep it a biblical play.
Right. Well, I'm going to go back and rewatch it because with you just saying that, it gave me more clarity.
Good.
Okay. I'm going to go back and rewatch it.
Okay. Very good. All right. Well, thank you, sister. Anybody else want to chime in? I'm going to put you back in the queue. We really appreciate these comments, okay?
Thank you, baby.
You too? Okay.
All right. All right. So anybody else want to chime in? And if not, we can, I got something else that I want to bring up, because next week we're going to go into, we're going back on course because we have some stuff to deal with. And I'm not even going to bring it. What, Darryl?
No, finish what you were saying. And I was going to, you know, add a little more to what you were asking us.
Okay. Okay. But I got something. This is a completely turn the corner, because I want to bring out something that I read. But Carol, you can go ahead and come with whatever you're going to come with, and we're going to go from there. Hold on. Vivian, are you still on? Okay, I don't know if she's on or not. Okay, go ahead, Carol. Mm-hmm.
When you were asking us about the leaven, I had planned when I was thinking about the leaven in my life, and I thought about anger and in the sense of having a short fuse. No one is perfect, and we all have to examine our lives and see where we can be better Christians, so that our light shines, that when men see it, it glorifies our Father in heaven.
Yeah.
And I homeschool, and I homeschool four boys, and they are wild.
Mm-hmm.
And I try my best to avoid getting upset with them, and, you know, when they do some of the things they do, because one of them is a straight-up clown. And he thinks that his life is, he's put on the earth to entertain the world with comedy. And so when you ask him some questions, sometimes it's just, he's looking for a laugh. And I don't have as much time as he thinks I have. The school year is almost over, and there's so much to cover. And I just ask the Lord to help me with the short fuse, that I can make that fuse longer, in that the anger can be removed from my life. That's what I've been working on. So pray for me, because we want to always make sure we look, or we walk the walk, or walk the talk, and not be double agents at home.
Right. Woo, that's powerful, Sister Carol.
Yes, it is.
I homeschool my kids too, and they're grown. And you can put in your kids everything. I mean, I wasn't at GOCC, but I feel like I've been in the truth, because my heart was always, I was always, like the scriptures say, from glory to glory. I never resisted truth. And so when I came to GOCC, I came knowing how to pray. I came knowing that my character should reflect that of Galatians 5:22. You know, I came in knowing certain things, and I could not throw away my prayer life, because I have developed a prayer life. I'm not going to throw that away, because that's how I talk to the Most High. But you can
pour into
your kids, and at some point, you have to watch, have to, you know, let them go. You have to start letting them go now in your heart, because it's something to deal with. It's really, really something, you know. And I think oftentimes, I just want to point this out regarding the leaven. One of the things that I notice about being in the truth, sometimes we take these holy days and we try to make them into holidays. Even though we don't celebrate Christmas, we'll try to make Purim like Christmas, or, you know, and it's like, I feel like being in Christ, we have to make a lifestyle change, a lifestyle commitment to Christ. And sometimes what happens, we'll wait until Passover comes and we want to deal with the leaven, where the leaven is so deep. You know, we have to do it on a day-to-day basis, moment by moment. We have to have our hearts in a position of humility that we might have to change for Christ to shine at any moment. And we have to be ready to do it. do that even if Passover is not here. Passover is a whole year away. What are we going to do? Wait to Passover to deal with our leaven, our attitudes, our jealousy, our backbiting, all this stuff we carry. We have to know that we're willing to do it in the natural, but a lot of times we're not willing to do it for Christ. So we don't look at it in the same way. We look at the natural in more of a reality than we look at the benefits of having it supernaturally, you know, just that mindset of wanting to be more like Christ, you know, be mm-hmm. more loving, kind, long-suffering. We say, oh, that this is happening. It's to develop long-suffering. This is happening. It's to develop so that we can develop humility. This is happening. Well,
yes.
You got to learn how to apologize. All of this is all about character,
Amen.
And we can't just do this once a year. We got to be about our Father's business every
mm-hmm.
day, and I'm done.
Amen.
Amen.
So thank you, sister. Thank you.
And I saw you. I didn't believe how short you were, but okay. I'm going to put up with that, you know.
Oh my God.
It was fun.
Oh my God.
It was so much fun. But you know, the thing is, like, it's like you try to say, don't miss out. Don't miss out on the spiritual portions of the Passover. You know what I mean? There were some wonderful moments in the Passover. Some of the, I don't know if you guys were there on Friday, but that Dallas choir was singing. They were singing.
Yeah.
Wonderful songs out there. They did such a good job. And then the next day in the Atlanta choir sang, and they had some serious lead singers up in there. Some serious that was singing up in there. And what we really tried to do was to get Atlanta and Dallas to join in with us, but getting to rehearsal was rough because people didn't get there in time. So there's lots of little faux pas and different problems that would come along to try and kill your joy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we did what we had to do. We got it done, and I was able to be revived, you know, because that's the one thing when you come back, you should need to feel like you just your soul has been revived. This is a song
that
we used to sing. It was "All Day Long I've Been with Yeshua. All day long my lips have uttered praise. All day long my soul has been uplifted. All day long I have been with him." And it's like, what should you feel like when you had a time like that where the whole day it was all about Christ? It was being with the Savior and being in prayer. And that's what we're trying to point us toward, that when we come back from the Passover, we feel like we've been redeemed, you know, we've been bought, that we can, you know, like the old people says, I feel like traveling on, that, we got to help us now.
Because
the world beats the crap out of us. You get back in the world and you got to, just the things that we see, all this alternative lifestyle stuff, the way they're treating us every day, the way you keep seeing all this devil stuff around you, and then all of a sudden we're catapulted into a little piece of the kingdom where everybody in there is professing to love Christ. Oh, what a place. What a place to be. Now, I made the big mistake of allowing myself to fool around and didn't get my hotel in time, that I was 15, 20 minutes away from the venue. Those were the longest 15, 20 minutes because we got lost almost every time we got out of there. We were exhausted in them little tiny roads in Pittsburgh. And I'm sorry, Pittsburgh, but I don't like that little burn-up town. I could not find my way back to that place. It was, even with the navigator, I would see myself turning the wrong way and the other sign be right over to the left. It's over there. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And then you go down the bad street. But it was a lot of things like that to take away from the wonderful revelation feeling that you got. And so that's why we thought tonight we would just see
if there were people that got revived, if there were people that can say their soul had been uplifted, or did they feel like they were at a club?
Oh, wow.
You understand what I'm saying? I needed to hear because we heard some commentary. We heard some commentary. And I'd like to hear that people actually didn't miss the spiritual portion, the things that Elder Ricard taught about. Did you hear that lesson? It was powerful.
It was wonderful.
So it's those things that we, you know, the devil will come and take away the wonderful tidbits that
That's
you
right.
have. He will steal them. Hold on. I think I see Sister Aura. Sister Aura, if you out there, press one. Get into the host queue. Press one. And somebody's calling me right now. On the phone. Yeah, Sister Aura. Let me bring her in. Hey, Sister Aura. I
Shalom. Wow. How's everybody?
All is well.
Shalom.
So we what you want to add to, you got something to add to
well,
this? And we'll just, go ahead. And then another
well,
call.
I just
in.
Wanted to say that I did not go to the Passover, but I did watch it. The play was fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
yeah.
to me, the culmination of the was when Elder Hannah did the, you know,
call.
That call. Also,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought that was so powerful because these are things we don't experience in our little satellite churches, you know.
Mm.
And I'm saying I think we really miss that because, you know, the Most High said his house is a house of prayer, but we
Amen.
Do very little praying. It's like
mm-hmm.
we'll say
mm-hmm.
the Lord's Prayer and you go home and you feel like, well, wait a minute. Something was missing. So when he did that altar call, it was like, didn't our hearts burn? Because
Amen.
It took you back to when you, almost like when you first met the Most High. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? When you first
mm-hmm.
met
Yeshua,
it was like, oh my goodness. And then you saw the people that came up there. It was so sincere. And you know that their hearts were burning.
Yeah,
and
they were
so they were
they
joyous.
Were
you know,
yeah,
they were so happy. So it just made you feel like, wow, this was really it was like the culmination. It was like the icing on the cake that ended everything. It was beautiful. And then
yeah.
Elder Carr came in and summed it up. It was just so beautiful, you know.
Good. Yeah, well I'm
That's
glad you enjoyed it. Hang on, we got another caller in the queue. I'm going to bring him in. I don't know what this person is. This is a weird, but all right. It says TM Little. I don't know what that means, but you're on the air. TM Little, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion. Hello? Okay, I got a funny feeling about that call. I'm going to put him back in the queue. Because it says TM something. I don't know what that is. Okay. But anybody else wants to press one, get into the host queue. Up, we got another caller. We got a few callers. They're waking up out there. Area code 320.
Come on, now, wake up.
You're on the air with the Daughters of Zion. Area code 323.
Hello?
Yep. You're on the air.
Oh, I didn't know I was on the show. I'm so sorry. I mean, I am a member of the church. I didn't realize I called. But I think there's a show for the Daughters of Zion.
Yeah, yeah. You're on the show.
I never knew about it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're on the air right now with us. And we were just talking about the Passover. Where you at the Passover?
Oh, I had just got baptized like 2 weeks prior, so I didn't get a chance, but it was already filled up by the time I had got baptized.
Oh, well, praise the Most High for your getting baptized, because that's really what it's all about. That's what it's all
thank
about.
You.
But thank you so much for calling in, you know, and if you want to add anything before we put you back in the queue, did you
yes,
want to
I guess maybe the Most High had me. I mean, because this can't be a coincidence, but I would just like to ask for some prayers because my grandson, he needs to have surgery, but all the hospitals are requiring for him to have a COVID test, and I'm just praying that the Most High just open up a door to where we can be able to get around these COVID tests.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to get around that. You're not going to get around it, getting the COVID test. Okay. I was talking to Elder Akar about someone who was having the same problem in the church. And, you know, and go ahead and take the test, because sometimes it's a matter of life and death when you have to deal with whether or not you can get a surgery or not.
Yes,
and if you feel like something has, because we do have to know that the Most High is still the giver and taker of life. He's still in charge of our life. Our faith has to be strong enough to know that. And just, we're going to be in prayer. But let's pray with you right now.
Thank you,
y'all. Blessed eternal.
Can I add one more request, sister? One more request. My husband had a mild stroke almost about a week ago. If I can get some prayer from my husband too, because he still got to have more tests ran to try to, you know, make sure he okay. I need my Judah lion to be strong and healthy, I need prayer for my husband and for my grandson, ma'am. I would love to pray.
All right. Everybody, sisters, ahead of us,
right?
All right.
Yes.
Eternal Father,
yes, ma'am.
Our Holy Father, we come before you right now, Lord, in the meekest way we know how, first to say thank you. Before we ask for anything, Lord, we want to thank you for everything. Thank you for waking us up morning, for watching over us all through the night, bringing us to this path in life, oh Lord, for being Father to us, for being a God to us. But now, Lord, we bring this sister before you who is asking prayer, Lord. Sister Ori just about how we need prayer. It's funny how when we want something, we know how to pray. But Lord, right now, we're asking you, Father, that you would look down upon her household, oh Lord. That you would guide the doctors, Lord. That you would guide them in the surgery for her child, oh Lord.
Yes.
And Father, this stroke that her husband had, this stroke is a mean thing, Lord. We're asking you to make a way, Father, that you can heal, because you are the God that heals us. You heal all of us. And was his Father. You forgive our sins, Lord. And you we have not, because we ask not. But here we are, Father, asking you for mercy. Asking you,
Father,
you know, and helping you, asking that you will help this sister, oh God, that you might continue walking, have her walking with you, Father, through her baptism, if it just shows publicly that she loves you, Father. And Lord, let not the enemy triumph over her. Let not the enemy. Let these trials fall off of her. Father, as you raise up a standard, oh Lord. Father God, thank you for all that you can do, Father. And we just
thank you, Father God,
want to know the power of prayer. That you said, if we come to you, Father, and pray that you would give us what we need, Father, if it be in your will, Father, we ask that this be your will, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
This be your will, to heal your children, Father, in the name of Christ. We so humbly pray in the name of
Lord.
And we thank you. Amen. If
Amen.
That you called in and that we had an opportunity to pray. And we were just talking about prayer and how much prayer is needed. But sometimes we need to pray and to continue to pray is that our faith strengthens and that our lives are changed, that we're actually in it for the right reasons, that we're really you know, our souls are converted. That's what we need. And, you know, and make us election sure.
Glory, glory, glory.
Thank you so much. All right. Ma'am, you gave me the answers that I needed, because I'm telling you, I just, I just had my daughter just calling around different hospitals, and but I thank you so much. I think, you know, the Most High probably meant for me to call this number, even though, you know, it was an accident. Because I was trying to call GOCC California. Yeah. You know, I really was trying to call GOCC California and ended up calling the broadcast. But I'm glad I did. And I thank you so much.
Yeah.
Amen.
Look at the Most High working.
Word it up the Lord. God.
He's a mighty God. We'll guide you. You know? I'm not telling you go get shots or nothing like that, but taking the test, just take the test.
Come on.
Know? Let them lie and do whatever you want to do, you know?
Steps are ordered of the Most High, you know?
Yes, it is.
It acknowledges him in all our ways. So.
There you go. And he will
He directed her to this line for such a time as this. All praises to the Most High.
All praises.
All right, sister. Call back in this Monday and let us know. Give us the good report, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
All right.
Sure, thank you.
All right.
Shalom.
Shalom. That is the funniest thing in the world.
I'm on.
Yep, I got another call here. Somehow Zion has awakened up. Area code 864. Area code 864. There are two calls in here for 864, but right now, 864, first number 9.
Okay. Shalom. This is Sister Maria.
I am
blessed, and sorry earlier I was on the blog talk. That's me, T Little. My first name's Trakita, so my husband, daughter, and I were baptized at Tabernacles, and it was amazing. And last year we watched Passover online, and we just knew we had to get there. And one of the brothers, he said it was going to be, you know, you're going to have all these trials right after you're baptized. And I really didn't know what to expect. And surely enough, I mean, I've had some trials. My father was killed in a car accident December, and my mother is going through breast cancer right now, and first treatment was this past Monday. So it's been trying, but I can tell you when we touched down, just the vibe, even when we got into our hotel, of seeing our brethren and our sisters in Modest Apparel, and then to walk into the venue on Friday, the spirit, you could just feel it was just moving. You know, it was just truly amazing just to see our people. Just it's like royal regale, even Friday and then Saturday. It was just so beautiful. And, you know, I showed my coworkers some of the pictures and they were like, oh, wow, what was that? Somebody's wedding. I'm like, no, it was Passover. They're like, wow, everyone looks so real. And of course, you know, there's several people that stopped, a lot of us outside the venue, to ask, where are we coming from? Because they were just in awe. But that's how we were meant to be seen, is how I felt. And the play, Sister Shirley, oh my goodness. I felt last year when I watched it online, like, it was so beautiful. It just painted the picture that you could just vividly see we're the people, that's our people. And then to see it from the perspective that you portrayed there was very touching. You know, from the Gentile, from Marcellus, it was just awesome. I mean, my son went to school for a bachelor's in arts, and I'm like, my goodness, this mind that you orchestrated all of that. It was just the sound effects to everything. It was glorious. It was awesome. All praises go to the Most High, but that spirit had to be led by him through you to produce such awesome show. It was just amazing.
You know, when I read and I had a to whatever, it talked about how
your mic is messing up, Cheryl.
All right, here we go. And it talked about this, what a wonderful Passover that Ezra put together for the Lord. I just felt like, you know, we got to do the same thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have to put everything we have into the Most High's Passover because it means something to him that he wrote
yes,
that in that book. You know? So thank you for that, sister. Really.
Oh, he certainly was smiling. No, he had to be smiling on that. I know for sure because the feeling that was had in that whole entire space was, I mean, like I said, words really can't even put it, you can't even put it into words. It
That's
just
so
like
cool.
I tell a lot of this, this is like a big family reunion gathering and
wasn't
that nice? Just so happy. Just like Elder was talking about Cloud 9. I was like, man, Cloud 1000. It was
way up there. It was wonderful. I enjoyed all our people because when do we get to see our people like that? Everybody.
Yes.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
And walking in the hotels and being able to say shalom to people without feeling like, are you with the body? You know, it was just, you knew it.
Yeah, and that's what it's about being in the right hotels either because we was way off in some kind of, you know, I don't know where in the world we were. And there wasn't nobody in my hotel that was any part of the service but me.
I mistakenly said one to the hotel host, and she just looked at me. She's like, oh, hi. I'm sorry. Shalom. She's like, looking at me like, oh, yeah, my bad. All praises.
All right. And where are you from?
I'm from South Carolina, but I live in Georgia. I'm with the Atlanta body.
Okay. Yes, yeah, so awesome. The Atlanta body. You heard them singing up there. They were singing.
Oh, they're absolutely beautiful. Elena, Sister Shea, it just always makes me cry.
Some of them sisters, I just wanted to shake them up, man. They were singing so good up there.
All
right. Okay. All right, sister, I'm going to put you back in the queue, and there's another number up there I'm going to bring in. Praise God. Praise the Most High. All right, hang in there. Hang in there. Let's get this next call in here. Area code 846. The first letter, the first number is 2. 8462 something. Hello? 864. I'm dyslexic here. 864. Area code 864. You're on the air. 864. Uh-oh. Is that you? Yep. Who's that?
Shalom, this is Sister Diamond. I'm from the Greenville, South Carolina congregation.
How are you?
Shalom. Shalom, I just wanted to comment and say I was at Passover. I'm sorry if there's background. But it was just an amazing experience. And the comment that you made, you said some people, you know, were thinking they're in the club. I honestly felt like there was bits and pieces of, you know, all of people's, you know, type, because, you know, with me, I'm 24, you know, and before coming into church, I listened to, you know, rap music, but then again, I was brought up in a Christian church as well, so I loved gospel, because I used to sing on the choir when I was a child, so I feel like we got a good mixture of both, you know, and then, you know, and I honestly feel like it, maybe it's a taste. It may be a taste for certain people because that's how my grandmother just didn't like hearing rap music nor understand it. But I feel like it's poetry. Like it really does speak to the younger people in a way. I'm excited about the truth because they're hearing coming from where they came from, coming from the world, listening to all that other stuff. But they're actually rapping about the Most High, the truth, the understanding. And, you know, it really touches me. You know, I had to change my whole, you know, playlist and stuff coming into the truth to, you know, the Hebrew rap just so I could still have that feel, but then in the right way, you know. So it was thing, and I was touched, like you guys were talking about, when Elder Hannah, you know, when he did that, you know, the people came forth wanting to give us up to the Most High. You know, that really made a lot of us emotional because I was thinking about the same day that I decided to listen when the truth was brought to me, you know, through the Most High, through another saint. And I was like, you know, I'm done. Like, it just made me really reflect on the first time I was like, okay, this is registering. I need to pay attention. I need to listen. Nothing is going right in my life right now. And I'm tired of living this way. So it was just all aspects that was really really enjoying. And I have never felt like this Passover was so amazing. Like the other sister just said, I came back just on a high, happy. You know, I was being attacked all week up before, the week after, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But it's like I'm still on a spiritual high from the Passover. And I was able to attend the after events where I believe it was the Puerto Ricans. They were outside playing the drums and they were dancing, you know, saying praise. Like it was just so amazing seeing all that. And I was just like, it just felt comfort to me. And I just wanted to bring forth that. So, and I didn't see any errors. I liked every aspect, the play, everything. It just all came together like it was supposed to.
That was so wonderful. Thank you, sister. I appreciate hearing
the gathering
from you.
Of the tribes.
Yes, it was wonderful. Thank you, sister, for putting back in the queue. It was wonderful hearing that, and I've got another caller, and I can't wait to hear from her. All right, sister, hang in there. That was wonderful. Area code 202, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Hi, this is Sister Danielle.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. I just wanted to share that this Passover was my very first Passover.
Okay.
And I absolutely enjoyed it.
Good.
From
wonderful.
Just the whole setup was amazing. Seeing all the people and just coming in and just people just, like the other sister said, saying, Shalom, Shalom. And I was just like, oh, Shalom, Shalom.
Unity.
It was so beautiful. And just to see all of us being beautiful, just being who we are, who God made us to be. And then to see also like some of the workers, some of the black workers, because I observe everything. And they were just looking and they were just so proud, you know, and it just felt good to just be that example, like to show like this is who Christ's people are. You know what I'm saying? This is who you are. And it just felt so good to just be amongst other people that just trust and believe in the Hyatt, and we were all praising him together.
Amen.
And the choir was on the stage.
I'm doing the show.
Oh, yeah, those choirs.
I said, well, what's this? I mean, I didn't know what to do. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't do anything. And when the tenors on the one song, when they talked about the sand and the ground, and the tenors came in, I said, I'm done.
You talking about All Christ and Solid Rock?
Yes. And so I just want to say that it was just beautiful. From the beginning to the end, I mean, even the way how you guys had everybody seated, how everything was decorated, the food, even the menu, the food was seasoned. I said, well, come on. It was a beautiful experience, and I was supposed to be there with my mother, but she passed away like about a year ago, and we had plans to be there together. Thank y'all so much, and I was grateful that experience was just like how my mom had imagined it would be.
Wow.
And I just felt so great to just be there, you know, in her absence. But like I said, to experience just how she described it, she was like, we got to go next year because, you know, and if she was here, you know what I mean, she would have felt just what she felt when she was watching it. You know what I mean?
I just
want to thank.
She saw it. But, you know, I don't know. I just think that in the bosom of Abraham, I don't know whether they up or down, but I tell you, you know, sometimes you feel like they're watching us.
Yes. Oh, so I want to just say thank y'all for all the hard work y'all put in the play, the sound effects, like everything. You guys did such a beautiful job, and it was just nice to see that we can come together and it just be full of just Ahaya, just praise and just praise and glory for Ahaya on one accord. That was just it was
That's
amazing.
One. Praise the
Amen.
Most High. Thank you so much. And it's so funny how you said a place was so beautifully decorated, because the decorations that we had for the table, and you might not have been here in the earlier part of the call, we didn't even get a chance to put them out there because they told us we had to be out by 11. And so the flowers, all the peach and cream flowers that we had to put on the table, we had those high flowers and low flowers and all kind of stuff to put on the table for Saturday, you know, for the Saturday service.
Mm-hmm.
And never got out there.
Never, we could never put it out there. But the Most High still blessed anyhow.
Yeah, he did.
Anyhow. So I was so grateful.
He was there. Yeah.
And
that was amazing.
Go ahead, sis.
Go ahead.
The workers that were in there kept coming up to us and in so many words saying, what must I do to be saved at the end of the program? They kept coming up to us asking where our congregations were and how can they get to worship with us. And it was so funny because they said they never saw anything like it before because everybody was cleaning off the tables and putting the chairs away. And they thought, you know, that's what we do at home. And so they were cleaning up. And the people that were working didn't understand, well, why are they doing our job in here? And they were like, they were grateful, but it was funny. It was funny that they came up to them and some of them asked them for the clip so that they could get the program and they could get a copy of it and they could watch it when they got home. And I'm telling you, that's the hand of the Lord. That was the kind of business that the Most High was doing. I'm going to tell you, he's marvelous when he does what he does. And it just showed us that the next time we come to Passover, I'm going to talk to the leadership because we don't need them flowers. You know, it was we had all two trucks worth of stuff that had to be packed up and taken back out of there that we don't have to bring. So, we put the programs and the playbills on the table. And then I wanted to know, too, about the programs because in the back of the program, you could write it. We had a place for notes. And I don't know how many people utilize it, but we didn't throw out a lot, that's for sure. They may have taken them home with them.
Yeah, we took them home, but I did try to use a pen on it, and it didn't really come all the way through.
Because it was shiny, right?
Yeah, because it was shiny. But I love the fact that y'all had that, because as soon as I saw it, I said, ooh, well, come on, because I can just do my notes.
Yeah. You had to use a rollerball pen.
Yeah,
roller pen. I said, next time we should give a pen with it, but we looked at the price, and it was like several thousand dollars. We said, we won't be doing that. You know, because we want to get something that's that GOCC, you know, Passover or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you for that, sister. What congregation are you in?
I am with the GOCC Kentucky under Officer Sawat and Sister Veronica.
All right.
They are amazing. Yeah.
That's good. Yay. This thing is so wild.
Yes.
All right. Well, be blessed, sister. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. I'm going to put you back in the queue.
You too, sis.
Okay.
All right. Hang on. And if anybody else wants to get into the queue, we're almost getting down to the wire. I got a couple other things that I want to go over, but that blessed my soul, those things that she just said.
Okay, sister.
Okay, Sister Karen Jackie.
I have a little scripture I'd like to insert. John 12 and 32, it tells us, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me.
That's
what happened when you said all those people were, the workers were inquiring about Christ and where is the church located because they saw Christ. You know, they saw a shine that they had never seen. They had a supernatural encounter on the outside looking in, wanting to come on the inside, and that's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a blessing. That's so blessed. That's what it's about.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's the truth. That is the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And doing our part to go before, right? Amen, amen. I wanted to add something that my husband had said, and that was when we were going through the vendors, they had so many beautiful things they were selling. Some of those people are so talented. It's like, who would have thought of this? Who would have thought of that? And so my takeaway is, I know Amazon has everything, but maybe we should go to GOC Network first before we buy anything. Just see if they have something we can buy instead of going on all these other sites and see if we can bless our people.
Amen.
That's the only way that network is going to grow. And even if the price is a little bit more, be willing to pay it, because that's the only way we're going to grow. Amazon has all the money in the world. They don't need our money.
That's right.
This is so true. So true. Sister Jackie said that people are texting her saying how many people really want to help out with the Passover next year. That would be wonderful. That would be
yeah.
I'm not sure what venue Elder is going to pick, you know, or whatever, or we're going to be able to do some of the other things with, you know, but we're going to do what we can, because it's the help we do need. We needed more backstage help. We needed help in setting up, you know, and things like that. We needed a lot of help, you know.
But
and so
they want to help.
That's a good thing.
We're going to have more help next year. Yes, we are.
Okay.
And
we can help. Yeah, well, you know what? When you're in these people's venue, because we went up to them and I told them the reverb was too strong and the bass was too hot. He told me the reverb, he didn't have any reverb on, that there was an echo in the room. And I cannot tell you how many thousands of dollars they charged us for sound.
Mm.
And all right, but let's just go here. The sound was better than it was in the other venues that we were on. But for the money we paid, they could have done better. And for lighting, the lighting in the videos, you couldn't even see it. You should have been able to, they were supposed to spotlight and you know, be able to see when the soldiers were coming down the aisle. I mean, there were so many things that I wanted to, that I was like, what is happening there? But you know what? Most high be praised. Most high be praised. We are still getting better and better. Better and better. And when we get into these places, they have unions and they have all these things that we have to deal with. And that's where the problems lie. But one day, Most High, if he tarries, maybe he will give us our own venue where we can control these things.
Yeah,
I'm going to put
the
area code 734. Carol, you want to speak before I bring them in?
And I just wanted to say, if we also should try to get screens so that everyone in the venue has a good view. I had opera glasses on, so.
Yeah, you know, I suggested that people bring opera glasses, because when you go to an opera, I mean, these are very so-called highly sophisticated places, and you can't see in there either. And so they give you opera glasses. But we weren't giving them away.
They don't give them to you. They don't give them. You got to bring them things.
In the opera, I think they have them there for you, depending on where you're sitting. Okay.
Oh, okay. If you're in a box, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So area code 734, you are on the air with the Daughters of Zion. Area code 734. Unmute your phone, darling. Okay, so we can't hear them. I'm putting them back in the queue, and maybe they'll try again. But I just thought it was I out of all the work that we were doing and running, I had a wonderful time. I had a wonderful time. I did miss some things. I did miss some things, but we just had a glorious time just seeing all those people, all those families that are professing to be the people of the Most High. And I was saying to myself, I wonder what the Gentiles that were working with us were thinking. You know, because some of them may have been Jewish, you know. Some of them have been, and they had to be hearing the things we were saying, but they also got a chance to see, even in the play, we let people know that Christ, we are not prejudiced. The Roman soldiers were coming to Christ, and that's fine. And we were good with that. So, you know, I wanted to make sure that was also brought out. Very interesting, you know.
because they like to say a lot of bad things about us. But start to notice the wonderful things, how we are. And, you know, it was so funny because I didn't have any light-skinned brothers to play that part. But we said, hey, when Cecil B. DeMille played it, he had all, there wasn't none of us in there playing the part that we were supposed to be playing. And we had to, you know, it's like I said in the beginning, you just get in, you got to pretend. Just pretend. Like, get it together, you know. So, but it was fun.
Yeah. I
really enjoyed it, really. So I want to read something.
Okay.
And it's human fascination with robots has long been fused with fear. The first widespread use of the term came a century ago in a Czech play about robots manufactured to serve and work for people. The catch? The bots turned on their masters. That plot has played out in fiction countless times. Meanwhile, the real world has created even more advanced versions of mechanical servants. Today, artificial intelligence is more sophisticated than anyone could have imagined decades ago, and it's already influencing our lives in incredible ways. Even if robot masses have not yet revolted, Google COC Sundar, some Indian fella, I can't read his last name, recently said AI is more profound than fire or electricity in its impact on humanity. But like fire, AI can burn us too. Today's Sunday Magazine takes stock of where we are, where the technology is headed, and the pitfalls that lie ahead with AI. There is much to celebrate, loads to fear, and even more to question about a future in which machines join humans in striving for a better world. But now, I just want to just read this one little more section. It says, imagine robots did all the cooking, cleaning, dog walking around the house. They ferry you around town, care for a sick parent, teach kindergarten to your child, deliver packages, perform your favorite hit songs, and have sex with you. Guess what? Many of those kinds of robots are already available and will only get better at human-like taste in the coming years. There's plenty more of that to read. But can you imagine half those things, they're telling us they're already doing it.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And they're saying then.
No, no, go ahead, Carol.
Mm-hmm. No, you were saying something.
Okay. Well, so, you know, what I'm saying is the places we get caught out there are when we're trying to accomplish something. Even like in the play, if I could have got a hold of a little more technology, you know, I could have done more stuff with it. And somehow when these things become so usable, we want it. Or if you, let's say, for instance, you lost a limb and they said to you, okay, we can make you better. You know, like the $6 million man, they give you a prosthetic arm and then they put a chip in your brain and now you can make that arm move. And fingers operate just like you would with your own arm. But now you're a cyborg. Which one of us would not take it? You understand? If they cut off both your legs and you had to be able to walk around, but they tell you, okay, if we give you this chip in your brain and put this leg on you, now your leg, you can make a move. Would you do it? This world is getting scary.
It is.
But what we're going to see, Carol.
It definitely is. And my understanding is that we're going to just continue to turn things more and more over to a robot, kind of like how they did in I Am iRobot.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, the traffic, everything you can think of, the military, whatever, is controlled by this robot. And the robots always somehow understand that things are supposed to be perfect, but the imperfection is us. So
yes.
Now what do we do with the us? Okay, let's get rid of them because they're the imperfection. And they were saying that they're trying to create these things that you'll put on your head. It'll attach to directly to your spinal column up under the brain. And it will allow you to then upload things into you. So instead of sitting there and struggling with a book, you upload it into your memory. And any child that doesn't want it will just be left behind. So if you don't want to keep up with what's going on, you ask me, that would truly be a mark of the beast because
absolutely.
In order to keep up and trade and communicate, you need this thing that they're putting in your head. And then they're creating these fake universes that you would put these things on your head and now you become part of it. And they'll move towards where you can not only visualize, but all your five senses will be being utilized: hear, see, smell, taste, and touch. So who will need the real world soon? So that, to me, is where Satan suddenly, he becomes like the Most High. He has created his own universe.
Yeah.
He's competing against the Most High.
Absolutely. One of the things they mentioned in the article when I read further is that they have all these experiments and things going on. You think that they're not doing it, but it's done. It's done already. In some of the instances, the robots created their own language. And they began to communicate with one another and we couldn't know what they were talking about. They had to destroy them. Because they created their own language. Now, get out of here. Yeah. It's like really, really scary. And then, of course, the algorithms that they use are from, they said one of the things that they do not recognize the African-American people. They just said black. They don't recognize black people. So they couldn't tell one from the other. And that they became very prejudiced because those that are programming these algorithms are mostly white people because there's almost no black people in the industry is what the article said. And
they're using melanin to light up devices. The melanin that comes from our body, they are using it to light up devices.
I didn't heard that, but oh wow!
Oh yeah, it's being posted on social media. They're taking black babies, black people who allow themselves to go into experiments, and they are using melanin on devices because melanin is electric.
Well, I don't know what all they're using. All I know is we're not going to recognize this world after a while.
Yeah.
And so the times that we have together, the times that we can fellowship with one another, we don't know how long that's going to be before that's no longer.
Right.
Before they tell us that this is not allowed anymore because we are not tolerating everything that they're suggesting, you know, and so we're going to have
but
to, you know, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Isn't that sort of like, you know, in the days of Noah?
Yeah.
When the doors just started closing and people, it's like people are not even aware of what is going on. You just know that probation is going to be closed and you're not going to be able to get to the Most High, it's going to be over. You understand what I'm saying? It's like,
yes.
Because you'll
be
so
no more grace.
Right. You'll be so infused in this, what do they call it, the metaverse? That
yeah.
You won't know the real verse
from the upverse. You understand what I'm saying? You'll be so confused unless you keep your focus on the Most High. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's something the Most High is going to be telling his people, though, because he said, make sure you're going to be found watching. You know, just like those people with the lamps, the women with the fire, the virgins that had the oil. We're going to have to keep our oil because it's going to be so surreptitious. You know, what's going on, you're not going to realize it's happening if you're not always watching.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
It's just going to be.
And compromising. Because this
right.
many people compromise.
It is.
You know,
it is.
It's a lot of our people.
Yeah. That's why we got to stay prayed up, because the devil has his way of insinuating himself in our lives every day on a regular 24/7. No matter if you go to sleep, you can wake up to whatever message that he wants to give you. What about the Most High's message? He said to seek him continuously, and that's, I guess, why seek him continuously, because he knew that these days were coming where once you just stop, you're like, it's letting a little leaven come in, and that's it. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
And he said he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And so many people are into fear when it comes to their bodies, when it comes to their pain, even their thoughts and imagination. People get to a point where they're compromised, and they decide they want a psychologist. They want to take the medicine. They want to take the vaccine. So we've got those who is trying to pull us into it.
But I guess it's just the mixing too. It's hard to sometimes, like, it's a thin line, and when you're walking that thin line, it's going to be hard to tell what is Christ. You understand? If you're not fusing the word in your spirit on a regular.
Exactly.
And
I want to go
ahead, Carol.
I wanted to tell you something that, you know, Facebook renamed itself Meta, but that's in Hebrew, it means dead.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. So it's the dead universe. In Latin, I think it means infinite.
Huh.
But do you see how they're just easing these words into us, and we're just getting so used to it? It's like, oh, so what? You know, we're really being cajoled into this type of atmosphere, and it's almost seeming like it's normal. You know, they threw the frog into the water and just turned the stuff up little by little. You know what I'm saying? And so you don't even notice that you're burning up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the one thing that we do want, when you talk about that frog, when they definitely threw him in the hot water, he got sense. He jumps out. But when
threw
him in that cool water and just turned it up slower and slower,
right. Yes, exactly.
What did they find the frog doing? Making adjustments, and that's what we do.
He starts flapping
around in the water, and he starts making adjustments to the heat.
And
we sit there, and we sit in the middle of it, and we start. Well, you know, we could listen to that. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we could. You know, this gay guy, he's okay. We make adjustments, and
then we
sit there and cook to death. Because the circumstance around the frog began to change faster than he can adjust to. And that's what we have to be scared of. Because that's what's happening in the world.
That's exactly right. But we keep hearing it, too. It's like almost like whatever you keep hearing, you start believing it's true. Because you keep hearing it. If you keep hearing it long enough, you say, you know what, I heard that, too.
Yeah, you heard it.
Is it true? It's scary.
I think a lot of people, a lot of us deal with doubt, too, because that's why we jump into fear and we stop trusting the Most High. And so we'll decide, well, maybe we should go with the man. Maybe we should go with the science. You know, so
you know what?
Doubt,
it, It is, though. It's a comfortable way. It's like, it's almost like there's no more arguing about it. Everybody is in agreement. And it seems that way. It's really, you're floating on, you know, with the way of the world. And you don't even realize mm-hmm. it because everybody's saying, you know what, it's not so bad. We're doing this.
And
you know
what else is there is peer pressure. Adults have peer pressure, too. We are scared to stand up for certain things because everybody's saying this is how it is. So we go quietly march into the darkness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's happening in the world, unfortunately, is happening inside the church as well because we have allowed certain spirits to come in. And wherever you let the enemy in, you give him an inch, he takes way more than
that's
that.
Right.
Just,
That's true.
Just spread throughout the body, you know? And it's very, very sad, you know? It's sad.
Because
that's why it's so important. Like, Sister Shirley said, we need to be praying, so.
Amen. Amen.
We were talking about the metaverse versus the universe. If meta means dead, think about what it is. It's a dead verse.
Yeah.
Dead. Instead of the universe with the Most High spoke into existence. You're going to die.
Funny how they're telling us this. They're telling us this slowly. Just like, that's what I'm saying. It's slowly going into us, but we still aren't saying, what are we doing? You know, what's going on? We're making adjustments. Yeah, we're just like, wow, this is fantastic, you know. I mean, we're not really understanding the true meaning, and this is so demonic because the devil is playing that song. It's like he's just going around playing that little fiddle or that little violin, and we're just singing to his tune. We're actually moving with the music, and we're not noticing. What's going on?
It's a challenge to hear the voice of the Most High. We have to tone out everything, and it's getting quite noisy. We got noise coming from every direction.
We have to train our ears,
the ears that he's given us to hear. We have to make sure that we're tuning in to the right voice, and that is a challenge.
Right.
It's a challenge that most people don't want to deal with. It's like, we too lazy sometimes. We don't want to deal with the spiritual side. It's not just you go in the water, you come out, you hear. No, we got to fight the good fight of faith. It's a good
fight.
That's right. You're on a winning team. That's the only reason it's a good fight.
But, you know, when you see his hand, it's amazing because I'm going to tell you, when that sister called in and she's talking about, like, what? Who is this? Where? I'm like, what kind of thing?
It was
amazing, the hand of God. It was amazing. I was like, what is God doing? Because it was just like almost even at the Passover when we couldn't put the flowers out, I looked up at God like, what are you doing? You know, it was too much for, how you gonna tell me we can't put these flowers out? He said, you can't put the flowers out. I said, okay, you know, it's so funny how flexible and how ready. So like when the sister called up, all right, you're not part of the program, but guess what? We can still shift gears and pray right now, you know?
That's a wonderful
thing to be ready and flexible and be able to do what the Most High said do when it happened. But I just thought that was amazing how she was calling the California congregation and got us on the phone. It's hilarious. You know, my goodness. And you know what? These are things that you hear all these silly little complaints, but that sister's going through some stuff, you know.
Her husband
just had a stroke. Well, stroke is a mean somebody, you know.
Yeah.
And then the little boy getting ready to have surgery. And the hardest thing, she's trying to figure out whether she can take a COVID test or not. Man, you better go ahead and do what you got to do, you know, and just be in prayer. Be in prayer because the Most High is still our refuge and our strength. And these hospitals ain't trying to hear nothing we got to say. Nothing.
That's right.
You know,
this is what I'm trying to say. Our people will allow the doctors to tell them that their children are sick.
Well, see,
Sometimes bets. If somebody got a limb and is hanging off, just like Brother Rob had to get a rod put in his leg so he can stand up. He had to get it done. And so things like that, there are some times that the Lord has allowed the medical industry to be there, but he can, many times the devil can deliver a package for the righteous. You understand?
Where
the righteous will just, you know, look when Joseph was put in jail, that seemed like it was straight up nothing but devilment. But it was for the righteous. Receive what the Lord has for you. Receive it. Receive it.
Yes.
Ordered by him.
That's right. Amen.
Yep.
And you know what? Remember the church was scattered all over the place. Like he said, if you kill the shepherd, the sheep will scatter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So think about if Israel hadn't have been scattered all over the world. They didn't know where we was, went in and killed us. But for our protection, he scattered us all over the place. And he's going to bring us all back together.
And they showed us that they'll do that. Look what they did to Black Wall Street. And the funny thing is, we always quote in Black Wall Street, but that happened in so many places on the earth.
In so many places.
The highways that they ran. Yeah.
When I see the churches that are led by the same-sex gender, and they are all doing these churches and praying for people and asking if you want prayer in the name of Jesus, you wonder, how could they go in the name of Jesus?
How could they? They're bold.
They're saying in the name of Jesus.
They're bold.
But the devil's been doing that all along. You know,
he always comes
to make you think he's coming in and
change himself into an angel of light.
That's what the scripture says.
And he did in the book of Jubilees. He did. And you know, it's what's I going to say about that? We just have to be on the watch. We have to be watchmen on the wall.
Yes,
but we have to learn what's going on, because this dude is the master of deceivers.
And that's why all this stuff is going on around us to confuse us. Where all of a sudden you've been praying and now your brother's sick again. How'd that happen? It's like, oh, what's going on? You know, or you've been praying and you've been walking upright, and now this person passes away. And we still have to say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we do it? Can we do it? We'll be. I find it amazing when Christ told the disciples, stay right here and pray. And they went to sleep. But that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. In our congregations, they're not praying. They're thinking, we ain't got it. You know, we got this, you know. And they're sleeping. They're sleeping. When the Most High Christ told us to pray. Couldn't you pray with me for 1 hour?
Right.
It's scary. It's almost like some people are afraid of prayer. You know?
Yes.
Like they are. I don't know if you've experienced this with people, but I've literally, it's like it's a drawback spirit when you say, let's pray.
It is a drawback. I've experienced that too.
I don't know what that's all about, but it needs to be broken. Because ever we need to be crying out to the Most High. We need to be covering one another.
I'm telling you.
So many people have lost loved ones. I have one sister, she lost about 4 or 5 loved ones within 8 months.
Look at that. How is she going to stand?
Naturally, but at the same time, she needs encouragement, she needs prayer covering. We we need to be praying, and I think we will see a cleansing, you know, that needs to come forward when we begin to just pray more and talk to the Father.
Not just individually,
but corporately, we need to be saying the same things. That's why division is getting in, because we need to come together on the same accord and talk to the Father and cry aloud and spare not and call a spade, call darkness what it is, and stop looking at it and treating it like it's something wonderful, because sin in the camp, and we have to get it out.
I'm going to tell you what the leaven
is in the camp, is in us. We got to get it out. See, sister, I'm going to tell you what happened.
My favorite verse saying, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who will fall by my name, and he said Israel, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If we would just do that, because that's what it's going to take for us as a people, as a whole, Israel, to fall down and humble ourselves and pray speak his faith.
And turn from our wicked ways.
And see, that's what that prayer was. That's what that altar call was. For us to repent. And how come people had issue with that? That they didn't understand what that meant. What does that mean? How do you know that's what I'm saying, calling you to pray?
Right. This is in the Most High's word. This is his word telling us this.
But the devil has a way of
making you think that this is wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because this would take his power if we all did this. You know what I'm saying? He can't let us do that.
This will cause his spirits to run. The spirits that's choking the life out of some people in the body. That's causing havoc. They would be on the run. They would not be able to stay. You know, they would have to go.
Can you imagine if we all did that? If, like, you know, I'm just saying, just keep seeking, just keep calling on the Lord and turning from your wicked ways.
Oh my God! Yes, you know? Yes. Repenting.
You know,
all of us.
It's just like 11. Go ahead.
What's going to happen?
First, we must admit the strongholds.
Well, that's true, too. What's going to happen is it didn't get hot enough for us yet.
When we start seeing
the soldiers and the people really coming after us, that's when we'll see us humble ourselves and pray.
Our loss will be so great. You know what I'm trying to say? The loss will be astronomical. It's like, when do we smell the coffee? When do we wake up and smell the coffee, I'm saying? It's like, what? You know? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I think we have children
that need to be saved. We have people in our families that need to turn to the Lord. We have these things that we need right here and now. And we're not paying attention.
Right.
You know, we're sleeping like the disciples were doing.
Right.
You know, because we don't get it. We don't get it yet, and that's what we got to get. Does somebody have to die before we get it?
Because you see what's so funny? That verse has been there forever. It's not no new verse. This verse has been there. And it's telling us what to do. Do we believe the Most High? Do we believe that report? You know, he's telling us to do it. How come we can't do it? Where's our strength?
Why was it strange for us to ask them to do it?
Right. Exactly.
Because we're creatures of habit and excess.
Okay.
When we learn to stop being so excessive, not so much stuff we don't need.
So much, and discipline
ourselves.
Yeah,
because when somebody starts coming at us, we're not going to, a lot of people aren't going to be able to move because they have the stomachs down, hanging down to their bellies.
Well,
I guess
we don't
be moving right now.
We got to realize we're in a war.
We don't have any, there's no soldiers because everybody is comfort. Everybody's in their comfort. They're laying around and they're sleeping. They're not working in the fields. The word says a man should not have too much food in his stomach because he can't sleep at night. And when he wakes up in the morning, he feels sick.
Well, I can vouch for it. I can vouch for it.
Sickness is caused by gluttonous behavior.
No, this is true. This is very true.
We're eating garbage. Even the foods that we buy, all the fast foods and the things that we buy inside the packages and all that, that's defiled. Those things are defiled, but we consume it. And so all these things are entering into us, and we feel bad afterwards, too. We got a lot of work to do.
Well, we got work. And guess what? It is 9:28, guys. We are at the bottom of the hour. How did we get here? Oh, my goodness. We got here so fast. And I just want to thank everybody out there, you know, that we come to know we got work to do. And what we talked about last time I met with the people in the congregation, we were talking about this very thing, and I said, you know, like when we come into service, why is there no one at the altar praying? Why?
Right.
They don't even know what is an altar. Why is there not one? And then in some of the corners, why are there not brothers sitting down sharing the Bible? We're all chilling. We don't know what time it is. We don't know what time it is. We've got to figure that out. We've got to see and realize that this thing is at the door and we're about to be destroyed.
Oh, Lord.
We
need to wait.
We have got to get 11 out of our lives right now.
We've got to get it out.
We got to get serious about this thing and stop being afraid to put both feet in and pray. Christ said to pray always.
How much time did he spend in prayer?
We've got to start praying more, period.
We do.
By the time the elder gets there, you know, everybody's going, well, where is he? Well, get on your knees and let's just start praying. Let somebody get up there and start singing some songs that says he inhabits the praises.
Oh, Lord.
That's exactly right. Where are the words that we're supposed to be listening to, the stuff we're supposed to know? You know, we got all this stuff we can witness for the devil about, but where is our witness? He said, we are his ambassadors. What do we sound like it? You know, those things like, what are we doing? We are sleeping.
That's right.
Wow. All
right.
But you know, this was a good awakening, though. This is letting us know that the Most High he's not back yet, so we still have time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We still have time. He has given us another chance.
All right, so listen, Cora, close us out in prayer, okay? Everybody, heads will come.
All right.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for this opportunity, Father, for this time, just to share, Father, to help us know, Lord, the time is nearer than we think, Father. Lord, we know you have been our dwelling place in all generations, Father. And now we need to come back and let everyone know. Because this is where we have to dwell. This is where we have to live, Father. You are our refuge. Yeah. You are our strength. You are our provider, Father. And you have shown it to us, Father. You have been telling us this, and we've just been asleep, Father. But you're going to wake us up, Father. This is why you've given us the opportunity, Father, for you told us that if your people who will call by your name, Father, and that's what we want to do, Father, we pray that you give us the strength and the wherewithal, Father, and that desire, Lord, to seek your faith and that desire to pray to you, Father, and to just stay on our knees, Father, because we need that strength, Father, because we've got the devil coming from all ways, Father. We've got it from every way, Father. But you said, Father, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds, Father.
Yes,
and that's
yes.
what we know, Father. So we want to lift up your name, Father, for you said, if you know, if we lift up your name, you draw all men unto you, Father. And that's another phrase that one of the sisters said tonight. I forgot her name. But, Father, we know that we all need each other, Father. It's just like you said, some of us are, you know, have this and this gift and some have that gift. But when we all get together, we show how we all can make it work, Father. Because you yeah. said we're all part of that body, Father. So, Lord, we pray and ask that none of us will sleep at the wheel, Father, that we all have a purpose, Father, for you've given us all a purpose. And you said to fall on our knees and call on you, Father. We just pray, Lord, that you give us that desire, Father, that we humble ourselves and seek your face, Father. And we come together at the next time, Father. We just, you know, no new awakenings, new things to say about how we can praise you, Father. And then I just say, Father, that you lead us and guide us throughout the week, Father, in your precious Son, your giant name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. I just want to add to that, Father, that you please, that sister that called in for prayer, Lord, we ask him again that you please have mercy, Father. Have mercy on and have mercy on all those that are physically hurting, Father, because that physical problem that we have, it just takes priority over us, Lord, that sometimes we can't even pray. And we're asking you, Father, to just have mercy on your people, Lord. Please, have mercy and abundantly pardon. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. It's wonderful being with you guys again. And next week, we're going to try to go into the topic. I want to call it the truth in hidden lies. The truth in hidden lies. It's going to be a serious show. Okay? So you guys get it. And we're going to everybody have a wonderful night's rest. And y'all hear my husband? He told me, he said, I can't get no rest. I can't get no rest when you're in here. You make too much noise. You hear him back there? He's sleeping back. I thank God for him. I'll see y'all later.
You know. All right.
Everybody.